May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At my first clergy gathering 2 weeks ago, we were asked to discuss the context within which we minister and the way that demographics can change in a place over time. The purpose of the exercise was also to reflect on the ways in which we gather information. Bishop Matt, who was leading the discussion, asked us when it came to gathering information whether we considered ourselves to be like an owl who stood back and took in all the information, or were we more like a beaver that just got stuck in and got the job done? Or perhaps we were like a ferret that scurried here and there gathering information. I wonder which animal you would identify with in that context. One of the participants on the panel exclaimed that when first hearing the question, they immediately thought of themselves as a fox, and this brought a lot of laughter. And one of the reasons for this is that foxes don't have the best reputation. For those of you who have chicken coops, I'm sure you'd agree. Foxes are known for their cunning and craftiness and for their well-honed survival instinct. Like all metaphors, though, there is a range of meanings which can be sought from them. Foxes are also quick-witted and smart. The author Roald Dahl portrays a very dapper and articulate fox in the book Fantastic Mr. Fox. And one of my favourite foxes is in the classic story of The Little Prince. The fox character is a philosopher with much wisdom. He asks the little prince if he will tame him. The fox then explains that to tame someone is to create special ties, and the fox feels that this may relieve him of the monotony of his life. The fox then reminds the little prince of a great truth. You become responsible forever for what you have tamed. I'm not sure what the panellist at my meeting had in mind when they said that they thought of themselves as a fox. I've just shown that a metaphor can carry a range of meanings. Our gospel reading today also uses animal imagery to make a point, and the meaning here is less ambiguous. Go and tell that fox for me, Jesus says to the Pharisees who come to warn him about Herod's threats to kill him. Jesus continues, I will continue my work of deliverance and healing, and then I will be on my way to Jerusalem. This is a glimpse into the path that lies ahead for Jesus, and it is a path over which Herod, at this stage, does not have any say. Jesus is quite clear about this and reveals his political astuteness in regards to both the Pharisees and Herod. In telling the Pharisees to return to Herod, otherwise known as the fox, Jesus reveals where their alliance lies. Herod Antipas was a ruler set in place by the Romans who did not have the support of the Jewish people as a whole. Yet it seems that these Pharisees are part of his circle. The warning that they give Jesus is a loaded one. Jesus sees a truth in the Pharisees, in Herod, and in those who hold the power in the capital of Jerusalem. It has been said that capital cities, where the power is held, are all too often the places where dreams of a new and just world die. An interesting thought to reflect on as Canberrans. Many within the National Anglican Church and locally have looked to Canberra as the place of power to reset our moral compass, as Bishop Stephen Pickard puts it, when it comes to the way we treat asylum seekers. Those in the seat of power, then as now, have a choice to let dreams of a more just and compassionate world live or die. After naming the death-dealing ways of the Pharisees, Herod, and the Jerusalem elite for what they are, Jesus changes tack. Jesus uses another image from nature to make his point. And this time, it is that of a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings. Jesus sees through the bravado of those who wish him harm. He sees them for who they truly are, people lost, confused, and vulnerable. Their bark is stronger than their bite. Jesus is brooding over the face of the deep, as it were, lamenting the excesses of the city's past and anxious about the birth pangs that he must soon endure there. In the new kingdom of God, the blessed will not be those who come in the name of power and of strength, but rather those who come in the name of the faithful and humble Lord of creation. Jesus calls their death dealing by name, yet he also sees them as barnyard chickens, lost in a storm, too afraid and too stubborn to find shelter under the shadow of mother hen's wings. The judgment that will fall on them will be the judgment of their own self-destruction. See, your house is left to you, Jesus says. Then, as now, political mechanisms go on, but there is a true and a living God. The foxes are not in control as much as they think they are. In using this image of a mother hen, Jesus is offering less a final judgment and more a call to repentance, as the parables preceding this passage have done, where we find a recurring theme of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Perhaps another truth that this story reveals is that we all have the ability to play the fox, to look out for our own self-interest and to ignore the way that leads to life, both for ourselves and for our neighbour. Lent is an invitation to a deeper way of knowing the truth of Christ as he walks steadily towards Jerusalem. As we get closer to the cross, Jesus will question his fate, and we will bear witness as the rulers and powers in Jerusalem put him on trial and execute him. This passage in Luke's Gospel reminds us to take heart even as we participate in that painful journey. The foxes have their moment, but they do not have the last word. And the space between those two realities is often the space that we find ourselves inhabiting. The passage from Isaiah also speaks of a new reality. The images are wonderful. Everyone who is hungry, come and eat. Are you thirsty? Come and drink. There is wine and milk, and best of all, they are free. I am the Lord, and I am near you. Addressed to the Hebrew people who have been conquered and exiled and who are struggling, the words must first seem frivolous and facile, describing a meal beyond their expectation and hope. And yet, God promises restoration and renewal. While we may not be able to see the possibility or understand the way, God's word will accomplish its purpose. And all around us are glimpses of this hope. It is slow and painful at times, and there is a cost involved. Disappointments, displacement, and injustice on a global and personal scale are real and difficult. And yet, both inside and outside the church, if we have eyes to see, we can see the redemptive story at work. The current art exhibition at the Australian Centre for Christianity and Culture is a tangible example. Here, artists who are also refugees and asylum seekers have shared their paintings and their stories. There is pain and uncertainty, and there is also hope and solidarity. And as we gather here each week together and share in word and sacrament, We too proclaim and live this unfolding story. And so we continue our Lenten journey, remembering these two images, the fox with the temporal power and the intimacy of the hen who gathers her chicks. The invitation is here. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Come and eat and drink at the table of the Lord, where all are fed.